This conference will now be recorded.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. We'll call the special meeting of the Chief of Board to order. First item of business is doing a roll call of those on the call. Start with board members. When I say your name, if you are on the call, could you please just signify? Mike Angelini?
Present.
Lawrence Davis? Lawrence?
Present. Can you hear me?
He's on. I think he's muted, or he doesn't have his. Okay, he's on.
I said present.
Ann Foley?
I'm here.
Daryl Hill? Daryl? Barbara Lindsay?
Present.
Estella Lopez?
Here.
Susan Martin?
I'm here.
And Mark Vaholik? Okay, I don't. Mark said he wasn't going to be attending. Okay, consultants.
Good afternoon, everyone. Daryl Hill is here.
Okay, thank you, Daryl. Consultant.
Hi, Peter. Peter, this is Lawrence. Can you hear me?
We can hear you now, Lawrence. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Okay, consultants and advisors. Is there anyone from Acacia Financial?
Yes, good afternoon. Josh Nicotop.
Okay, thank you, Josh. Anyone from Carmody Torrance? Cohen Resnick? Jay Pitney? Hardwick Law Firm?
Debbie Henry's on.
I'm sorry, could you say your name again?
Debbie Henry.
Debbie Henry, thank you. Hawkins, Delafield and Wood? Hinckley Allen? McCarter and English? PFM?
Trina Smith is here.
Thank you. Pullman and Comley? Robinson? Robinson and Cole? Shipman and Goodwin?
Bruce Chadwick is on.
Thank you, Bruce. Okay, Chief of Staff? Denise Aguilera. Denise is on, but she's muted, I think. Okay.
Yeah.
Deb Galley?
Yeah.
Dan Junji?
Here.
Bob Jandro?
Here, present.
Thank you, Bob. Dan Kurowski?
Present.
Michael Morris?
Present.
Cynthia Peoples?
I'm present.
Kara Stewart?
Present.
Betty Weintraub? Betty? And Jeanette Weldon?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, there are several other folks on the Chief of Roster. I just went through the ones who I thought might be on the call. Are there any others from Chief who are on the call whose name I didn't call out?
Eileen McDonald Dunn.
Eileen, thank you. Anyone else? Okay, thank you. So before we get to the minutes of the board meeting, as has been the custom in the past, just want to remind everyone, in accordance with the governor's executive order regarding public meetings held via teleconference, the meeting will be recorded and the recording will be posted on Chief's website within 7 days of the meeting. And please do try to identify yourself prior to asking a question or making a statement. So with those kind of rules of the road, thank you all for being available this afternoon. First item of business is approval of the minutes from our board meeting on June 24th. Is there a motion to accept the minutes?
Don't move it. Move it.
All right, Estella moved it. I think Mike seconded it. Thank you.
No.
Are there any corrections or edits to the minutes from June 24th? Hearing none, all those in favor of accepting the minutes as proposed, please signify by saying aye.
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 Are there any noes or abstentions?
Sorry, Peter, I have to abstain. I was not at that meeting on the call.
Okay. Mike Angelini is abstaining on the vote for the June 24 minutes. And we also have minutes to approve from July 22nd. Is there a motion to accept the minutes?
So moved. This is Mike.
Michael, is there a second?
Second, this is Lawrence.
Okay, Estella seconded. Are there any corrections or comments, clarifications on the minutes from July 22nd? Hearing none, all those in favor of accepting the minutes as presented, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Okay, our primary order of business today is a review of the final staff memo and bond resolution for Sacred Heart. So I will turn it over to Bob or Mike. I'm not sure which one, but the floor is yours.
Hey, this is Bob Gendro. First, thank you very much for taking the time out of your summer schedules for this special meeting of the board. Very much appreciated by the university, the investment banks, and staff. Staff would like to recommend approval for up to $125 million for the Sacred Heart issue Series K. Staff's recommendation is based on its credit assessment of the university, which includes both credit strengths and challenges, which we've listed on the first page of the board memo. In addition, the recommendation is also based on the underlying credit ratings of A3A by Moody's and S&P, respectively. Both ratings carry stable outlooks. Updated ratings were received yesterday afternoon from Standard & Poor's and this morning from Moody's. And as staff had mentioned in the preliminary memo from last month, the ratings were anticipated to remain unchanged, as the university had communicated its plan to issue additional debt at that time of the previous rating assessment. Therefore, the issuance of the Series K bonds was not a surprise to either of the rating agencies. Because of the timing of receiving the rating agency reports didn't align with the preparation of the board memo, we're unable to include any of the comments or findings. However, like staff's assessment, enrollment growth, solid demand, strong operating results were highlighted as areas of strength, while leverage, debt service burden, liquidity, and COVID-19 were listed as offsetting factors by the rating agencies. All of these factors line up with staff's findings. With the expectation that the university has no further intentions of issuing additional debt in the near term, in addition to its aim of maintaining its current credit ratings, staff feels strongly the university will continue to deliver strong operating results and continue to successfully execute on its plan to grow and enhance its program offerings, grow enrollment, and enhance the student experience. Staff asked the board to approve the Sacred Heart issue Series K for up to $125 million based on staff's recommendation and the updated credit ratings.
Okay. So before we get to a discussion, can we have a motion to accept staff's recommendation for the staff's recommendation on Sacred Heart for up to $125 million?
This is Mike. So moved.
Mike moved. Is there a second?
Estella seconds it.
Thank you, Estella. Okay, the motion has been made and seconded. Let's open it up for a discussion. Are there some questions for Bob with regard to the Sacred Heart offering?
Peter, this is Lawrence.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Thank you. So the first question I wanted to try to get a sense of is that, you know, it's very nice and good to hear that the ratings have not changed. but COVID-19 does present a particular issue. And one of the things that was pointed out in the memo was the fact that, students might not return to campus. And so there may be refunds of room and board. The first question would be, has that happened? Is that the scenario that the school is looking at? And then the second question would be for Bob is that, you know, there was a set aside of up to $6 million to deal with this particular issue. What, if any, has been the impact in terms of on expenses or profitability of the school with any reduction in terms of the return of room and board?
Hi. So yes, the school has set aside reserves of $6 million to deal with the potential impact of COVID-19 if it is to worsen going forward. If it turns out that there were unexpected consequences of a breakout on campus, the school does feel that it is prepared to handle it. Again, they set aside $6 million. They believe that currently that is more than enough to set aside at the current time. The school also has a pretty flexible endowment with unrestricted net assets that could unrestricted funds that could certainly be moved if necessary. And with regards to it potentially impacting expenses and or results going forward, those still have, depending on how bad or dire situation does occur, it will impact results. However, the school is aiming towards staying on top of everything with, testing, et cetera, as well as being able to have places in which infected students will be quarantined. But, nevertheless, the school is preparing. They have put together, a process to stay on top of expenses and or having to do what they had just done in the previous fiscal year and possibly having to set aside funds for the reimbursement of room and board if that does become an issue. We don't know when or if that'll happen, as well as how much that could possibly cost. But with what had happened last year and the experience that the university had had with refunding, some of that room and board expenses, we believe that management at the university will be prepared and also be able to handle a similar situation should that arise.
Okay.
Can I add to that question? I noticed a number of colleges have been reducing their tuition by 10-15% for students who are not able to be on campus. And that looks like if that happened to their whole student body, if they all had to go home, that would be a $3 million hit. Has that possibility been factored into the thinking, the just general thinking?
As of right now, I think the focus is more on the possible reimbursement of partial reimbursement of room and board. Because the university is in a position to offer online education, you know, right now they're running, they will be running both online and on campus, you know, education for the students. I don't believe that it's really necessarily an issue from a tuition standpoint, as the school basically will still continue to operate despite the fact that students will remain, will be sent home if a bad enough outbreak happens. Not to say that the school hasn't taken into consideration that there could be a possible partial reimbursement of tuition, but I think that given, you know, past experience, that that's may not necessarily be on the top of priorities, just given the fact that, again, the students will still be able to receive an education online.
Thank you.
So, Bob, I mean, I think we're all aware that dealing with the COVID, it's a moving target, and it's almost, you know, circumstances change almost day by day. I guess big picture, is it fair to say that, you know, you've had discussions, obviously the rating agencies have had discussions. I mean, do you have a sense of comfort that they're on top of this and a $6 million set aside is going to be sufficient? And granted, it's a moving target. I think we all realize that. But just to hear from you about a sense of comfort level that you and or the rating agencies have after having the discussions with Sacred Heart over COVID. I mean, it's an obvious concern.
Yes, and definitely I do have a strong sense of comfort that management at the school is doing everything possible to, you know, stay on top of this, and that it's not something that they're taking lightly. They are working with people on a daily basis to make sure that that they are prepared, that they are taking into consideration any factor that could pop up as a result of a COVID-19 outbreak. So yes, given the sense also that, you know, the rating agencies also feel a strong sense of comfort that the school is in a position to handle COVID-19. Obviously, it is, as you said, a moving target. I mean, for the most part, they've done everything that they can so far to prepare, but who's to say that something doesn't change?
Absolutely, totally get it. Yeah, okay. All right, any other questions for Bob?
This is Lawrence again.
Sure.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Dale.
No, go ahead, Lawrence, you have it.
Thank you, sir. Bob, you know, the memo did not speak to, is there savings that is built into the refunding or what we're looking at today? Any savings?
No, there's no savings because we're just paying off outstanding construction line, and then the remainder of the funds will be used to reimburse the school for funds that have already been spent or will be spent on completing projects.
Okay, thank you.
Daryl, did you have a question?
I do, quickly, hopefully. Looking at the credit challenges and how Sacred Heart's metrics compare to Moody's medians, it seems like they're all unfavorable with the exception of debt service, which is, I guess, right in line with 1 basis point off. But on page, it is 21 of the packet, under leverage, it speaks to pro forma debt service operations is elevated at 11.3%. But unlike the others, it doesn't show what it was previously. So my question is, pro forma debt service operations has changed how? Has it gone up to 11.3 or down to 11.3?
If no, so, it has. I'm sorry.
And if so, from where?
Let's see. It has gone up to 11.3, and I am just trying to see if I can find what it was previous.
Bob, this is my actual for fiscal 19 was 7.5.
Okay, so yeah. Roughly 4% increase. And I understand why, I think I understand why we're working off of fiscal 19 numbers. Fiscal 20 is in process, or fiscal 20 financials are in process. Is there anything or that would or has happened in fiscal 20 that would impact the fiscal 19 numbers used as the baseline?
Not that we're aware of at this moment, no.
Okay, thank you.
And I will also say that, you know, with regards to, you know, the median, I mean, usually once the that debt service operations number gets above, say, 7, in the 7 to 10% range is when it definitely becomes more of a yellow flag for the rating. So, you know, while it is elevated, you know, the university does have sufficient, you know, debt service coverage ratios.
Okay. Daryl, does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you.
Okay.
Peter, this is Lawrence again. One more question,
yeah,
Bob.
Sure.
You said that you got the updated ratings. Can you just help me understand in terms of S&P or Moody's, whichever rating agency is, what are the factors that they're looking at in terms of a downgrade? What would cause a downgrade or what is a key factor, one or two key factors that they pointed out?
Sure. So things that would potentially lead to a downgrade would be if the university were to issue any additional debt. As of right now, S&P sort of believes that the university has reached its rating, its debt capacity for the current rating. So, you know, the university has already communicated to us that basically, you know, there are no plans to issue any additional debt going forward. You know, they've communicated that to the rating agencies as well. But if for some reason, you know, the university does surprise everyone and issues additional debt, it's likely that that could lead to a downgrade. In addition, the maximum annual debt service is, you know, that burden is elevated. And so, again, if there's, you know, further debt that's issued that causes that debt service burden to increase, that'll also lead to a potential downgrade. And then lastly, you know, where we've highlighted a little bit about available resources that the university has, S&P had highlighted that a downgrade could happen if the available resources declines further, and or if financial operations declines, as well as enrollment and demand metrics. So, you know, there are a number of different things, but the most important of which is just the level of debt and the debt service burden that's on S&P's radar with regards to what they would be looking at if a downgrade were to be coming, or a scenario where to be considered.
Thank you.
Okay. Michael, just as an aside, I think maybe once or twice a year, it's either S&P or Moody's, they issue a white paper, so to speak, on the state of you know, higher ed, and they go through a variety of statistics and metrics. It might be useful to Lawrence, and based on that question, if you could pull out the most recent one and just send him a copy. I mean, I always find it interesting, and it really gives a complete picture of what, again, it's either S&P or Moody's, what they're looking at when they assign these ratings, and it's very specific to colleges and universities. Do you know the paper I'm talking about, or the
Well, there's a couple. They have their methodology.
Yeah.
And that's also what their medians, they also point out. I mean, we could, there's a number of reports that we can provide them.
Yeah, I think based on Lawrence, I think it's a great question. And I think these reports that I'm referring to will be interesting reading for you. So if they can be forwarded to you.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Peter. I am familiar with those because, I've looked at them in relations to transactions, but any updated information is certainly helpful.
Okay. All right. So are there any other questions for Bob with regard to Sacred Heart? Any questions at all? Okay. With that, we'll call for a vote. All those in favor of accepting staff's recommendation for Sacred Heart University, the Series K public offering, please signify by saying aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Thank you very much. The motion passes. Is there any other business to be brought before the board? Any other business? In that case, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you, Estella. I can always count on you for that, Estella. Is there a second?
Second, Lawrence.
We have a second from Lawrence. Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Wonderful. Thank you all very much for your time. Please enjoy the rest of your summer, and we will be in touch at the next meeting. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.